chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. And my sermon this morning in honor of Mother's Day is a mother's plea for her son. So we've already seen what's happened in the first part of this chapter. Elijah is being sent by God to go out in the wilderness. He's fed by ravens. The brook dries up. He says, now go to Zarephath. And I've got a special way that you're going to be cared for there. So in way of background, we'll go to the next part of this story. It says in verses 9 through 16, for background, it says, so, no water in the brook, ravens not bringing food anymore, drought in the land, and God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you wherever you are. No matter what kind of spiritual drought the land's in, no matter what trouble you're in, God will take care of you. So he tells Elijah, he says, look, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is in this region that Ahab's brother, whose name has Baal in it, was overseeing. He says, which belongeth to Sidon. It's about 7 miles south of Sidon. And it's the center of all this Baal worship. It's the center of all this idolatry. It's the center of all this stuff. And so God tells Elijah, he says, I want you to go right into the midst of this. In the middle of this physical drought, in the middle of this physical famine, in the middle of this spiritual famine and drought. He says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Folks, when God tells us to go someplace, we need to go there. When God tells us to stay someplace, we need to stay there. We don't make excuses, and Elijah was the man of God, and he didn't do that. He says, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I'm sure it was in Elijah's mind. He said, well, wait a second. You've been feeding me with birds. You've been doing all this. Now it's all stuff. So he didn't argue with God. He says, okay, fine. I'll go where you want me to go. Folks, if God told you to do something, would you do it? If he told you to go somewhere, would you go there? He says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now look here, there's no name here. Doesn't give the address. Doesn't do anything, because when you're following God, God will lead. He's going to lead you to the right place at the right time, the right people. So in verse 10, it says, so he what? Arose. God tells us to do something, we need to do it. So he arose and went to where? Zarephath, exactly where God told him to go. And when he came to the gate of the city, see, he's walking into the city. And it just so happened that this widow was there. Coincidence? Some people say that's coincidence. Some people say, it doesn't happen that way. No, my God did this. My God did this. Came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, if someone walked up to you today and said, hey, give me something to drink, libel said, now go get your own drink. I'm not going to wait on you. It's about me. It's about no, you know, it's all about me and nothing else. So Elijah goes up to a perfect stranger and says, get me something to drink. What would happen if a perfect stranger came up to you and said, would you do something for me? See, the Bible talks about that when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. He says, be careful because you may be entertaining angels unaware. For this woman, she's entertaining the man of God, the prophet, right now. She may not know who he is right now, but she's going to find out. She's going to find out. She says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, it's something else. Wait a second. Not only that, can you bring me some food? Can you cook me supper? And we go, what? What, you want to make supper for me? Now, if that happened to you, what would you do? Someone knocked on the door and said, hey, I come to eat supper. Got something for me? What would you do? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Sometimes that might just go over the top. This woman who's struggling in the midst of a famine and a drought. What gives this guy the right to come up and ask me for some water? And then not only that, basically to take food out of my mouth. It says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. So I want to tell you the absolute truth here. He says, I have not a cake. I can't do this. But God can. And we know this story. We've heard it in Sunday school. We've heard it preached before. He said, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am without hope. This is it. We're running out. It says, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Here's a person that's on the end of the rope. And it's interesting that she's at the end of a rope and she's being asked to do something. Doesn't it always seem to happen that way? When things start happening, things just pile on, doesn't it? And Elijah said to her, fear not. Now, God always talks about fear not, just trust. Because perfect love casteth out fear. Fear takes care of, or faith takes care of, fear. And Elijah said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake, what? First. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve others first, or are you going to serve yourself? It's a choice, and we see this choice right here. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, she's sitting there probably thinking, wait a second. This is not going to work out. First of all, he asked me for some water. I don't know you from Adam. Now you want me to make you some food, and then you say that we're going to eat. There won't be anything left. And sometimes God asks us to do things that we just don't understand. So she says in verse 12, she says, as the Lord thy God liveth. Well, look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The one you just talked to, here's what's going to happen. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The man of God says, God's going to take care of you and your family. The Bible says God's going to take care of us and our family. I don't care what man can do to me. I have God. Amen. And we also know that little is much when what? God is in it. Verse 15. So sometimes when something doesn't make sense, we just have to go out by faith. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did what? Eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know, Christ went through and did all these miracles and people didn't believe. I'm wondering here, as we get into the passage we're going to study this morning, I'm wondering if this woman said, this is a pretty good miracle. Because every time I go, there's one more meal. Every time I go, there's a little bit of oil. My Bible tells me that Christ said, give us this day our what? Daily bread, so we can be what? daily dependent upon God. And so she has this thing going on in her life. And things are going pretty good. She is being sustained. We don't know what's going on around, but I guarantee, but probably because there's no food and there's no water, people are really, really struggling. Sounds like today, isn't it? We all have things that we struggle with. And there's people around us struggling all the time. The man of God has been sent to a woman that was struggling. She had her last meal, basically, down to her last stuff. And God says, let me have that. He said, well, this is a pretty good illustration of faith. But see, when you start having faith and things go pretty well, there's another bigger test coming. And I want to thank you, moms, for staying up in the middle of the night with your sick kids, like me. Or having the tic-tac when you need it. Or helping out when you need it. Because a mother will give up her last for her kids. But then as we go into our message this morning, we see a thing happen. And sometimes, you know, you do and you do and you do and you do and you do. And then all of a sudden, something hits you just out of the blue, and you go, well, why was I doing this in the first place? How many here have been frustrated with things? How many things have basically said that God doesn't hear you? Or God is going to judge you all the time? That's what's happening here. And so the first point this morning is this mother gets frustrated. This mother gets irritated because something happens to her son. And we and you as mothers don't want anything to happen to your kids. And when something bad happens, you say, why? Why is this happening? I'm doing everything I can, and then something happens. So now let's look at verses 17 through 18. And it says that it came to pass after these things. So they stay there, what? Many days. Verse 16 says it's many days. Elijah has taken up residence in this person's house. Actually has a bedroom up in the second story of the house. It says it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. You know, sometimes we think and we're serving God, and then some sort of calamity happens or something says, I was serving God. I was doing exactly what God told me to do. And then this happens. And sometimes it might be more than you could bear. And it always seems that when you start having this, that more happens and more happens and more happens. Last 72 hours of our life, everything that I've touched is broken. Yesterday was a very frustrating day. I went up to do some mowing, and I ran out of weed eater line. And then I went out and bought weed eater line, and then I ran out of fuel. Now, poor planning on my part, I will agree. But you know, when you get in this thing, you have this spiral. And everything seems to go wrong. Before that, I had to go buy a new weeder because it didn't work. So I just said, put it on the side of the street. Somebody took it. God bless them. They'll figure out it doesn't work. Okay? But the issue is, as we go down, we go, ah! And here, her son dies. You would think that God, we would think that, well, God's not good. God should protect her. God should have kept her son alive. Verse 18, it says, and she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee? And can you see the frustration? Said, I'm doing exactly what God's told me to do for you. You're the man of God. And now why did this happen to me? Why is this going on in my life? What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? and to slay my son? Is this what I get for doing good? Is this what I get for helping you out? That's not right. And oftentimes we feel that way, don't we? Oftentimes we feel that way. See, she's irritated when faith is working. That barrel of meal hasn't stopped. That cruise of oil hasn't stopped. There's been firewood to make supper. There's been meal after meal after meal, and God's providing, and faith is working. So why do these things happen? Why do these things happen? And sometimes we get irritated and we get frustrated and we say this: God doesn't hear my prayer. Or I don't think it's worth it anyway. And then something that comes in that you can't even conceive happens. And you go, really? How many of us has ever said after something else breaks, you go, really? And you go, boy, this is not a good day. Or this is not a good week. Or this is not that. And now this woman's been helping out. Has this. Why on earth would her son die? Why would he get sick? God must not love me. And then she starts searching for answers. And so she turns to the only one that she could turn to here. Elijah says, wait a second. What have I done to you? What have I done to you, you man of God, that now you've come to bring my sin back to remembrance? And oftentimes we get irritated at God. We think that God is just a God of judgment, not a God of grace and God of mercy. And we get frustrated. And we get irritated. And we say that God doesn't love me. And people say, well, that's okay. That's okay. Just trust in God. And you say, well, if you were going in my shoes, that'd be harder to say. We've all been there, right? Every mother wants the best for her sons. She was searching for answers. David, in Psalm 51, verse 3, says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever what? Before me. Yeah, see, you don't have to really go far to look for problems. You really don't have to go far to look for things that we've done wrong in our lives, but the issue is not to dwell in them. The issue is to get victory over them. The issue is to put them on the cross with Christ and go on from there and move on. The issue is to increase your faith. The issue is to do all these things to honor God. Because, see, trials, as we went through the book of James, trials will either do one of two things. It'll either get you closer to God or draw you. It'll take you further from God. And so she says this. And she comes to Elijah and says, why is this happening to me? And it has an impact on Elijah. See, moms have tremendous impact in families. Moms have tremendous impact in nations. Moms have tremendous impact in the world. Moms can have tremendous impact for God, moms. Raise up your children in the way they, what? Should go. The New Testament talks about that the older mothers are supposed to teach the younger sobriety and all these other things in the letters in the New Testament. So, Elijah's sitting there going, I didn't do this. But it had an impact on him. Verse 19, it says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. I don't know what I can do, but I'll try something. Give me thy son. He took him out of the bosom, carried him up to a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. See, when you see a problem in someone's life, what is your reaction? Is it just to sit back and watch people suffer and go through things, or is it to step in and get involved? You know, you see an accident on the side of the road, and what happens? Everybody rubbernecks. They want to see what's going on. Anybody consider praying for that person? Anybody consider, well, you know, trying to say what's going on? Folks, we need to have a different outlook than the world has. And it should cause us to action. So we have an unction from the Holy One that we're supposed to do these things. James writes, he says, how can you say that you have faith if you don't do anything about it? How can, John writes in 1 John, he says, if you see a brother or sister having need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how do you show the love of God to that person? Folks, we need to do something. I guarantee you, doing nothing gets that result. Nothing. And so Elijah's, the mother comes and impacts Elijah's life. Folks, we're supposed to motivate others and exhort one another as we see the day approaching. So it causes action by the man of God to create an advocate for them by the man of God. See, there's a lot of hurting people out there today, folks. You know, I just don't understand what I can do to minister. There's a lot of ministry opportunities out there. Just look outside. This is where people are supposed to find solace and grace and mercy and help and hope. 2 weeks ago, we talked about having hope. Last week, we talked about what stops you from doing what we're supposed to do. Elijah didn't stop here. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It carries the same thought. God's looking down from heaven. He's looking down at a rebellious nation. And he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the what? Hedge. Someone that will take action. Someone that will do something about the issues that we're dealing with today. Someone that will see someone is hurting and help. And stand in the what? Stand in the gap. You might be the solution to people's problems. But if you never get involved, you'll never be the solution. That's what's called ministers. We're supposed to be servants and ministers and all these things for Him. Stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, if Lot had taken care of his family, Sodom and Gomorrah would not have been destroyed. One family can make the difference. One person can make the difference. Christ did. Look at the disciples. Folks, the world and people's problems should have an impact on us and should want us to take action and get involved. So we see the irritation of the mother. We see the impact that the irritation had on Elijah. And it caused him to intercede. It caused him to intercede for the mother. In verses 20 through 23, it says, and he cried unto the Lord. See, there is empathy here. There's sympathy here. Elijah's on board. And he cries out to God. Crying out, say, why? You know, it's okay to ask God why. Be ready for the answer. Be ready for the answer. And he cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the woman with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? See, he asked the exact same thing she said. That's a good starting point, isn't it? People's needs. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into me into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came to him into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. God's taking care of it. God's taking care of it. See, when we see the intercession of Elijah here, it was specific. He took what she said and he took it to the throne of God. Let us boldly approach the throne of God that we will what? We can find grace in time of need in Hebrews 4:12. But I guarantee you nothing will happen if you do nothing. Nothing will do if we don't pray about it. because prayer makes it our own issue too. It was specific. Years later, in Jerusalem, the Assyrian Empire comes, and this guy by Sennacherib sends his army, and they're camped around Jerusalem. And they send a letter to the king. And this letter says, "We're going to come in and just conquer you. And don't think your God can do anything about it." And then there's this big argument, there's this big calling out of the walls of the city. Don't think that the God of Hezekiah, don't listen to Hezekiah, don't do anything else. Don't listen to the king that God's put there, because he's no help. And we know the story. So Hezekiah gets this letter and he rends his clothes and he takes action about it. He goes to the temple of God and he lays the letter in front of the altar. Just like Elijah took the son up to his bedroom and laid him before God and said, "This is what's going on here." And Hezekiah says this. He says, "Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see." He does see. He just wants to know if we see it. "And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God." Folks, it's all about God's glory. Elijah calls out to the only one that can fix this problem, and that's God. Do we do that? Do we go to God as the first thing, or do we go to God as the last resort? It was specific. It was special. He's asking God to do something that hadn't been done before. "God, bring this guy back to life." Hebrews chapter 11 talks about, in the chapter of faith, it says women received their dead alive again. Talk about this story right here. Talk about this story right here. He says, "God, I want something traumatic. I want something special for this person. She's helped me out. I want something special." Folks, we need to pray for special things for special people. And all God's people are special. It was special. Do something you've never done before. There's nothing wrong in praying for that. And the thing about it, how many times did he pray? Three times. Sometimes we pray for these prayer requests and that's it. We're supposed to pray with perseverance. We're supposed to pray until we get an answer. We're supposed to keep on praying. It was satisfied. You know why? Because Elijah walked with God. We have the God of the universe, His power and His grace and His mercy all at our disposal. We just need to ask for it. But He's going to answer if we live His way. John chapter 15 verse 7 says this. It says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall" what? "Ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." See, there's been other times about things happening, bad things happening. There was a guy that was born blind. And the disciples come up to Christ and says, "Who did this guy sin that he's born blind, the man or his parents?" And God said, "You know, it wasn't about sin. It was for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. This is to show that in the midst of an area of Israel where Baal was being worshipped, a dead idol who can't do anything, that the God, the living God of Israel, can bring people back to life. The God that we serve today. And so we see the intercession for the mother, and it was satisfied because Elijah walked with God. Don't think you can pray for all your stuff that you want and get an answer. You need to walk with God. "I don't understand my prayers. not being answered. I don't understand why God doesn't take care of my issues. Walk with Him.
Amen.
Walk with Him. He'll either change the issue, He'll either give you the answer, or He'll change the circumstances that you won't mind. So we see the irritation of the mother, we see the impact of the mother on Elijah, we see the intercession for the mother by Elijah, and then we see the impression made on the mother. Folks, God working in people's lives ought to call it an impression on your life. Something to encourage you to do even more. In verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, "By this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." See, what did this do? It was a confirmation of the man Elijah. It was a confirmation of him. The woman said, "This is something fantastic. This is better than the meal not running out and the oil not running out. This is my dead son has been brought to life." Folks, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to take out of your deadness and bring you to life. His name's Jesus.
Amen.
He died on the cross to give you eternal life. He's the same God that raised this one from the dead. He can raise you from your sins and cause you to have inherit eternal life in heaven. So it was a confirmation of the man. It was a confirmation of his message. A couple weeks ago, like I said, we used the issue of Peter and John being told by the religious leaders not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. It says, but when they saw the boldness of Peter and John in Acts 4:13, it says, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of that they had been what? With Jesus. Folks, Peter and John made an impact on people's lives. Elijah made an impact on that woman's life. I guarantee you that son said, "Wow." Everybody that knew that woman said, "Wow. There is a God. He is a God of life and not a God of death." Has God made an impression on you? Oftentimes I wonder. Because not involved. We don't intercede when the time comes. What kind of impact is God making on you? So the impression was made on the mother. Lastly, the implications of the mother. There's four things I want to point out here, real quick. In the midst of a drought, in the midst of a famine, in the midst of death, there's still no problems too difficult for God to solve. And I want to give you that encouragement this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And the answer is what? No. We limit God by not allowing Him to take care of things in our life. By not having the faith to do that. Secondly, no tragedy is too trying for God to bring peace. No tragedy is too trying for God to bring peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. Really, it could be said, be anxious for nothing. There are a lot of people still worried about stuff going on in the world today. Give it to God.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God's not going to answer unless you talk to Him.
Right.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So no problem is too difficult for God to solve. No tragedy is too trying for God to bring peace. No, we need to understand that we are the servants of God and we are equipped for every situation. It says that we're comforted by God and that we can go and comfort other people with the same comfort that we're comforted from God. There's people that need compassion and help and grace. Say, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, here's the point. We can trust God to give wisdom to His servants. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? ask of God that giveth to all men glory. Christ said this, ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. But we just want the giving without the asking. It doesn't work that way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that it giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God's power is sufficient when hope seems gone. Go back to this woman with the barrel and the cruise, and now her son's dead. Some of us might just say, oh, throw up our hands, it's not worth it. It's over. And resign to live in that area. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says, and he said, this is Paul talking. And he's talking about things that are in his life that he wanted to get rid of. And God said this, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you want the power of God to rest upon you? See, then we need to talk about helping others and ministering. So the servants of God are equipped for every situation. Lastly, faith brings victory even on the darkest day. First John chapter 5, verse 14 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look at what happened to the woman. Prepare a meal for me. What? She did it. Faith. Nothing runs out. It's still there. Faith. Then God takes her a little bit further and says, okay, here's your son. Thing you treasure the most. Gone. Give it to God. Faith. And see what happens is, even in their darkest time, God delivers. God wants to deliver us this morning. God wants to deliver you this morning. God wants to take your problem. We're supposed to cast all of our cares on Him, for He what? Cares for you. Trying times will yield to faith. The issue are we yielding to faith, or are we yielding to the circumstances? Only you can answer that this morning. What is it? We need faith in God, because God can take care of all this. If you don't know Him as your Savior, if you said, if I die right now, I don't know, I'd go to heaven, I got great news for you. Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day to show He has victory over sin, over the wages of sin, which is death, and to give you eternal life. If you need God in your life today, come forward when we sing. And we'll show you from God's Word how you can have that. Folks, as a Christian, what kind of faith do we have right now? Are we letting our circumstances control us? Or are we letting God control our circumstances? That's the point. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be more like You. Father, help us, Lord, to have faith, Lord, that when difficulties happen, Lord, things that are out of our control, things that we couldn't even conceive happening, like we've seen this last year, Lord, that, Lord, You're still sovereign and You'll take care of it. Lord, help us to have that type of faith. Be with us this morning. Let Your will and way work in our congregation and on those listening today, and change our lives. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.